John chapter 11, and I wonder this morning, what are you doing for Easter Monday? You didn't hear me wrong there. I said, what are you doing for Easter Monday, not Sunday? I have to admit, I only recently heard about Easter Monday. As Baptists, we just don't really get into a lot of the things that some other denominations get into, and we don't really celebrate it, but in many countries, Easter Monday is actually a public holiday, and it comes with all sorts of various traditions. Maybe they'll do an egg rolling competition, or you go to a festival. It's very often that countries will schedule a big sporting event on these days, and it's celebrated in much the same way that we here in America like to celebrate Easter Sunday. I'm not saying, though, today that we should start doing something more on Easter Monday. I mean, you should take off work and you should organize an egg rolling competition and whatnot. That's not what I'm talking about. Rather, this morning, I'm simply wondering how our celebration of Easter today, how our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus today, is going to affect you tomorrow, on Monday, or on Tuesday, this Thursday, this Saturday, next week. What's going to happen different in your life because of what we're celebrating, what we are worshiping here this morning? What are you going to do when we're done singing about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and we all go our separate ways? Tomorrow, whenever temptation comes again to lead you away from the truth, to lead you away from Christ, what are you going to do? Tomorrow, whenever you feel lonely, depressed, and you wonder, where is God? Does he care? Does he even exist? Tomorrow, what are you going to do with Easter? How often do we celebrate the hope and the victory that we have because of Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday, and then Monday morning, tomorrow, it's just right back to business as usual? See, so many of us, if I asked you this morning, what do you believe about the resurrection of Jesus, you would tell me a series of facts, maybe, of what you believe. I believe that he was buried in the ground. He was raised from the dead on the third day. He appeared to his disciples. And I'm not asking you that this morning. I'm asking you, what is the connection between what we are singing about this morning and how you live this week, next week, this month? Are you going to go back to the same old sins? Or are you going to trust and believe in what we are singing about this morning? You see, according to the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a fact to be believed, though we do believe it. It's not just an event to be investigated, examined, studied, even though we do believe you should study it. It's not just an inspiring story, as if the main point of the resurrection of Jesus is that because Jesus got up from the grave, I can do whatever I want to do with my life. No, it's far, far more than that. It's not even just a cause for hope in some distant, glorious future whenever Jesus returns, even though, hear me, we do live in that hope, absolutely. But according to the Bible, the resurrection is both a person to be trusted, and it is an identity to be embraced. Let me say that again. This is the main thing I want you to see and to believe, to trust this morning. That according to the Bible, the resurrection is both a person to be trusted, and it is an identity to be embraced. And I want to show you that this morning from the Gospel of John chapter 11. I'll begin reading here in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. And so the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, you see here the setting of this story, that Jesus has heard about this illness that affects his friend Lazarus. And so he hears about this and he responds in a way that we wouldn't necessarily expect him to respond. Maybe it's a bit startling to us this morning. Because the Bible says that he doesn't rush to his aid. We know that Jesus is a great healer, that he could have certainly reversed this illness. He could have certainly cured him immediately. But that's not what we see, is it? Now, we see that Jesus stayed 2 days more where he was at. And beyond that, he tells Mary and Martha here, this illness doesn't lead to death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It's a kind of weird thing to say. It's almost like he's telling them something akin to, it's really not that bad. You really don't have anything to worry about. It's not going to lead to what you think it's going to lead to. Let's skip down to verse 11. Verse 11, we see, after saying these things, Jesus told his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. But now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Once again, it seems like this isn't the Jesus that we all know, that we're so familiar with. Jesus, if you say that you love Lazarus, if you say that you love your friends Mary and Martha, and you can go and you can heal him, you can prevent him from death, then why, Jesus, why would you not do that? Lord, this doesn't make any sense. It sounds almost cold and callous of Jesus to not just be there, but to say to his disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there. Who would say that? Why would you say that? But then you see why Jesus explains what he was doing. He says, I'm glad that I wasn't there for your sake, my followers, so that you may believe. Now look with me in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Well, now we have the full picture, don't we? Now we see exactly why it was that Jesus let Lazarus die. He wasn't being cold and callous and indifferent to sickness and to death. No, we see that he was really telling them all a story about himself. This whole story, it's not about Lazarus. This whole story was not intended to communicate something to the disciples and to Mary and to Martha, something about who Lazarus is. Rather, this whole story, every event here, is meant to communicate something to Mary and Martha and to the disciples and to us today, something about who Jesus is. Something about what Jesus does. But in the moment, everyone around Jesus was confused. They couldn't make the connection. And I wonder how many of us see ourselves today in Mary and in Martha and in the disciples this morning. How many of us, we've already sung this morning about Jesus' victory over death and over hell, over sin, right? But how many of us wonder, what does that mean for me? You say, Brandon, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know the struggles in my life. You don't know how hard it is right now. That's great. That's great that you talk about some Jewish man who died 2,000 years ago. and then rose back to life. But what on earth does that have to do with me today? What on earth does that have to do with me tomorrow, Monday morning? Okay, Jesus conquered death, but what do I do? Look with me again in verse 21. You see Martha's words here. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that may sound like she's saying, Jesus, you caused this. If you had just been here, then he wouldn't have died. As if she's blaming Jesus, maybe. Maybe she's angry at him. But I don't think that's what's going on at all. Rather, what she's saying, she's confessing to Jesus, Jesus, you have the power to fix this. You could have done something here. I trust you. I believe that you could have done something. How do we know that's her heart here? Look at the next verse. She says, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She may be in great sorrow, but she is still clinging to a small glimmer of hope and of trust in Jesus. And so notice what happens next. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. When I was 12 years old, my grandpa died. And that night, I remember our pastor coming to myself and to my family. And he told us, he consoled us there as we were at his home. And he said, Brandon, I know that you believe this. But your grandpa was a Christian. He's a follower of Jesus. And you have told me that you are also a follower of Jesus. And here's what that means. It means that, yes, he may be dead, and yes, one day you may die. You will die. But because of the fact that Jesus has raised from the dead, your hope is that one day you too will raise from the dead. Your grandpa will raise from the dead, and you will be reunited with him one day. So take hope. Take heart here. Be encouraged. And that's so true, isn't it? The Bible is very clear that everyone who is in Christ, who believes in him, who trusts in him, will rise again one day. Do you believe that this morning? Martha did. And so when she hears Jesus' words here, Martha, your brother will rise again, she must have heard him to say something like this. Martha, it's not so bad. Don't worry. It's all going to be okay. Your brother will rise again. You too will rise again one day. You will be reunited one day in heaven, Martha. How do we know that must be what she's thinking? What does she say next? She says, Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. It's a Sunday school kind of answer, right? It's the same answer that you and I might give this morning. The same response that you might have if someone consoled you in your grief over the loss of a loved one. You might say, oh, I know that he's going to rise again one day. I know we'll be reunited in heaven. I know I'll meet him again one day. I believe that. I trust that. She must have heard Jesus' words like that. And it's true. It's true. But notice Jesus' response to Martha. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus was not saying to Martha, and he's not saying to us today, that the hope of the resurrection is found in the fact that one day we will go to be with him and we will be reunited with our loved ones. That's part of it, absolutely. But he wants us to see something more. He wants us to see that the resurrection is not merely an idea to be believed in. It is not merely an event in history to be investigated. It's not merely something that we look forward to one day whenever our earthly bodies are resurrected. It is all of those things. And yet, far beyond that, even more important than that, right here, right now, this morning, the resurrection is a person to be trusted. The resurrection is a person to be trusted. Jesus is saying that he himself is the resurrection and the life. And so this Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is asking all of us this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that true saving faith is found only in the person and the work of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that there is no eternal life outside of him? Do you believe this morning? It's not just believing that Jesus is real, that he existed. It's not just believing that he even rose from the grave. What I'm asking is your faith in the person of Jesus this morning? Are you trusting in him and him only? Or are you trying to justify yourself before God based on your own works? Do you believe this? Not only is the resurrection a person to be trusted, it is also an identity to be embraced. And so when Jesus says here, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die, he's reminding us that eternal life is not something that happens far off one day whenever we die. Please don't miss this. He's saying that eternal life is now. The only way that Jesus can say that he who believes in me shall never die, he can't just be speaking of physical death, because the reality is that every person in this room will die one day. He must mean that there is something that happens as a result of the resurrection that gives us eternal life even now. So in some sense, we can say that though our body may lie in the ground one day, yet we will live on forever if we are in Jesus, if we are trusting in Jesus. That eternal life is not far off, but it is now. And what he's saying is that, in other words, our identity as Christians is so vitally connected to Jesus that today we don't just celebrate the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave, but today we celebrate the fact that in Christ we have died, we have been buried with Jesus, and we have ourselves raised from the grave spiritually. Paul makes this point in Romans 6. He says, we were buried, therefore, with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Not just new life someday, far off, whenever our life on earth ends. He's talking about life now. Colossians 3 says, it's not just that we will be raised with Christ one day in the future, but we have already been raised with Christ. We already live in resurrection power. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's the question that Jesus was asking Martha. It's the question that he's asking us today. Do you believe that because Jesus has risen from the dead, that everyone who is in Christ now has resurrection life in him? That we don't just celebrate Easter Sunday, we celebrate Easter Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday. Every day we live in the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. And so you say, what does that mean? What does it mean to live in resurrection power? Bring this down to earth for me. Okay. What are you going to do tomorrow whenever there's some sin, maybe the same sin you've been struggling with for years, and it looks really, really enticing? And you wonder, how can I ever resist the urge to give in? What are you going to do? What are you going to do tomorrow whenever there's not enough money in the account to pay all the bills? And you wonder, where's my hope? What do I turn to now? Where do I go? What are you going to do when you feel lonely and you begin to wonder if God really loves you? What are you going to do tomorrow whenever life seems overwhelming, stress is getting the best of you? You feel hopeless? You feel like there's no point? What will you do? Let me put it another way. Do you believe this? Do you believe this morning? Have we just sung about it, or do you believe this morning? Do you believe the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you even now, empowering you, equipping you, encouraging you, transforming you from the inside out. The same power that raised him from the dead is now at work inside of you if you are a believer in Christ. That you no longer live in your own power. You no longer fight sin in your own power because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Do you believe this? How do we respond to temptation? How do we respond to suffering, to trials in our lives? We do so as those who have been united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And so everything we do in resurrection power. We go to work tomorrow morning in resurrection power. We hang out with our family in resurrection power. We fight sin in resurrection power. We enjoy meals and movies and books and hobbies as those who have been raised with Christ. We forgive one another as those who have been raised with Christ. We pursue godliness as those who have been raised with Christ. We declare that old person is gone. I'm not going to give in to that sin anymore because I have been raised with Christ. And because I have been raised with Christ, I no longer have to mess with that anymore. Jesus has resurrected me. I'm not the same person that I was. When he rose from the grave, I rose from the grave. We live today as those whose lives have been forever changed because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And when he did so, he gave us a person to be trusted, and he gave us a new identity to be embraced. And so let me ask you this morning, do you believe this? Let's pray. Father God, we are incredibly grateful that we have a gospel to be believed this morning. We are incredibly grateful that we have the good news of Jesus. God, we also confess that we are a people that struggle to believe. Some of us in here this morning would say, even as we read in the scriptures, I believe, Lord, I do, but help my unbelief. Help me to trust you more. Help me to understand more of what it means to live in resurrection power. Help me understand more of what it means to quit looking to my own strength, to quit looking inside of myself to try and make myself right with you, but to trust what you have declared about me. My prayer for us this morning is that we would believe these truths, not just with our heads, with our hearts, with our whole body, soul, mind, and strength, that we would trust you, we would receive this truth this morning, and that we would truly believe it. Help us to do that this morning, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper.